We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This Junkies podcast is brought to you by Alarm.com, the official smart home security partner of your Washington Capitals. Every day, millions of people trust Alarm.com to protect their homes and businesses.
EB mentioned he was having a back and forth with our former producer, Brett Oliverio.
And longtime friend.
At not Brett just producer, Radio friend. On Twitter.
Yes.
And Brett apparently is participating in a poker tourney in Vegas. It was a $3,000 buy-in.
Big time.
And it's about 1,000 contestants, and he's down to the final 30.
A lot of crushes.
What's up? I know. 1,000 players. What's up, pal? How are you, man?
Are they not contestants?
They're entrants.
What's up, guys?
All right, so
whatever,
Brett.
You poker nerds.
All right, so Brett, explain to people how this all came about, because I got a text out of nowhere. I was at my kid's piano recital yesterday, and Brett texts me, "We got a sweat."
Nice.
And I go, "What are we talking about here?" And he's like,
"Wait a minute, you actually were on your phone during a recital?"
Well,
I know.
Have you ever been to a recital?
Believe me. Thank God for cell phones.
Generally speaking, if someone texts me, I'm going to answer it regardless of where I am. And he says, "Yeah, I flew out last minute decision. Tell us what got into you. Who convinced you? Yeah, I know this is what your third or fourth event. I know you've entered the Colossus a couple times.
And are you staked, or is this all Brett's money coming your way?
Oh, this
when
is
you
all Brett.
Cash?
If I'm guessing, this is all
yeah.
Brett.
Yeah, no, I just bought in. I mean, I really wanted to play the main event, but I sort of got cold feet. I mean, $10,000. That's just a show,
right?
Especially now I have a daughter. It's just,
$10,000
a show.
Yeah. Right.
So Jenny, my wife, Jenny was like, "Yeah, just go do it." So I sort of just booked a flight, and I still have a free hotel here at the Rio from playing blackjack with Rom years ago.
You're kidding.
You still have dividends from playing with Rom from years back? That's amazing.
So I got like 3 or 4 nights free here at the Rio.
Did Hales and, come, or did you literally go by yourself?
I just came solo.
He was gonna.
I invited him. I told him to come, but
right.
And then Rom was out here a couple days ago, but he got felted.
Shocker.
So, boys wanna go skiing with me?
So go ahead.
So yeah, we're down to 30 or 31 players. Started off with over 1,000. I just been grinding this little nubby stack all day for 12 hours.
See, I can't believe you did that, Brett, because I'm so impatient with a stack of that size. Any sort of pair or big ace, I'm getting that stack in there. But it sounds like you nursed that thing.
I did, literally for 12 hours.
That's crazy.
And by the way, that's not Brett's style typically. Right. Brett likes to get after it, get into a lot of hands.
I like to splash around in the pots.
Yeah.
The players, I swear to God, the players at the World Series of Poker are worse than the players in the JPO.
I love that.
JPO, you have a lot of guys that play all the time. Home game guys.
Yeah. Right, right.
The JPO is just, I don't know, it's just a better players and feels like it's better run.
So you're saying that field, you're in a bunch of donks.
Just total donks.
That's amazing.
I mean, that's why I've been able to make this deep run.
Well, that's what I found. Go ahead. Well, I don't want to interrupt you. But the one time I made a run at the JPO, I used to go with this, once I get down to X big blinds, I'm going to just start getting it in. And then I said, it was never working for me. Finally, I said, I'm just going to nub this stack.
Right.
And that's what ultimately worked for me. Just take your time. Be patient.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm doing. I played with Scotty Wynn today. He was pretty cool.
Uh-huh.
He just kept talking about, baby.
Yeah.
He was doing his whole baby shtick all night long, talking about all these women he's banged. But he was fun. It was fun to play. Norm MacDonald.
Right.
He was in the tournament. Who else? Bunch of poker pros. But I don't know. It's been awesome.
Has anybody at the table ricked you? Have you berated anybody?
I think you've
reined that in over the years. You've matured a bit. But
I have reined it in, but one guy, one foreign dude, put me on tilt. Like, I went up to go to the bathroom,
yeah,
and he didn't like that. Like, I was sort of mucking at a turn,
Right.
And he's like, "What are you?" And he just kind of yelled at me, and it pissed me off. I'm like, "We're not the," and this was like day one. I'm like, "We're not the final table." Plus, every guy in this tournament is like, "I'm just so glad I don't really play poker anymore because these people are miserable."
Yeah,
they're just fat and smelly and ugly and gross. Like kind of rude.
Right.
And it's just, I don't know. Poker players are.
I've always seen that, Brett, and yet that's the life which Cakes is aspiring to.
These are my people. These are my people that Brett is talking about. It's his only.
Well,
hobby.
Not where Cakes plays. I'm talking about here at the World Series, not where Cakes plays.
Right.
I play
in a classy establishment. Right.
Let me ask you a little bit of a geeky question. Like, are you
upscale
making
casino?
Yes, are you making any moves at all? Are you Have you made any
Zero.
Big bluffs?
Zero.
You're playing
I'm literally
silly.
Waiting for.
You're playing nuts
like,
and bolts.
I'm literally
poker.
Doing nothing.
Yeah, that's
I
great.
Love it.
Right, and see what you know. What it's, Mike Mattisau was raging, and I was worried that this might affect you the other day. That they're allowing so many late registrations, like even on day two
right.
of these events, that somebody
yeah,
made a side bet that you could late reg, not play a hand, and
right.
still cash, and the guy did.
Really,
the guy didn't
wow.
play a hand. He did a $10,000 prop bet. That he could late register as late as possible, mm-hmm. not play a hand. And he was left with 200 chips, and he cashed.
He just got blinded out. And,
yes.
But blinded out into the cash.
And he cashed, yeah.
It's
Did
good,
you see a
strategy.
Lot of that? Was there a lot of late registering in your event?
Yeah, you could register till like midnight
right.
on day one.
Right.
Yeah, that kind of throws a wrinkle in it. But I mean, I just basically came out here for, I don't know, to have a sweat and just have some fun.
Brett,
it's been cool.
Here's what you need. How soon until you go back to the table?
Tomorrow. I haven't slept yet.
It's tomorrow.
2 p.m. Vegas time.
All right, well, hopefully,
today.
Hopefully you're seated with the chip leader because I'm looking at the chip counts. Jonathan Abdelatif
yeah.
from Belgium.
Yeah, I was playing with that dude
yeah,
all night.
You need to take a big chunk out of him.
Was he just lockboxing his way
he's
in?
He's at 2.7
million. I mean, literally, he would play like, Jack 7 offsuit, flop a straight. I mean, it was just a show.
Right.
He was literally felting everyone.
Oh, my
He's on
God.
A mega
By the
heater.
Way, is there anything funnier? I feel like you guys haven't addressed it enough. Cakes calling Tucker Barnes topper shut to his face.
Brett, I'm telling you, it was one of the most awkward moments of my life.
That's the funniest story.
And the worst part,
because
Brett,
you know how much that tilts him.
Brett, the worst part about it was he thought I was doing a bit at first.
Cakes held down. And
I could have played along if I had caught it in time, but I didn't. I wasn't able to roll with the punches, and it got even more awkward the longer I was there talking to him. I don't think I can ever speak to him again.
Yeah,
but it was my fault.
The thing people don't understand is, I mean, no disrespect, but these guys are desperate to be recognized.
Right.
And for Cakes to then call him his rival.
Yeah. By his full name.
I mean, TV people are like on a whole different level of
right.
like wanting to be famous.
I know.
Yeah. Anyone in media has an ego.
Yeah, everyone has an ego, but TV ego
really
is crazy.
I really don't know why Cakes used the full name, too.
Like, I don't
if I
know
saw
either.
Tucker, I would say, what's up, Tucker?
I can't even use being drunk as an excuse. I had one
Copper
beer before
shut.
I talked to him. That was it.
So,
can we also, by the way, as a listener now, can we get a whole segment on Jason's finances?
Something's going on.
I don't know what's going
how
on.
How is he busto? And by the way, the number one question I get from people that visit Sup Dogs in yeah. North Carolina, mm-hmm. literally I get this once a month from people that are passing through. The first question every time, how much money do the junkies make? That's literally the first question everybody asks.
Hey, here's the answer. Not enough.
Exactly. Yeah. JP nailed it.
Yeah. Well, you can always make more,
yeah.
but put it this way. The boys have been handsomely rewarded for years, and for Jason to be allegedly busto, first of all, I'm not buying it. It's all in how you – Jason, I know, has a large stash of money that he doesn't want to touch, and so that's what he's considering being busto.
Well, maybe he's touched it. I mean, is he like
– I don't know. I don't think so. I think he's just a little overextended, and he doesn't want to touch
uh-huh.
a large sum of money he has set aside.
Hey, Brett, I know this. I know I'm not walking out of the Rio with a minimum of $12,000 in my pocket like the guy on the other end of this phone is.
How excited are you, dude? Dude, well, how much did you make when you went to Costa Rica when you did that trip?
50?
But that was 50,000. But keep in mind, I was 24.
Right.
And not making much money at all.
That was a huge score. That was a huge score. But I forgot it was that much.
50. Yeah, he made 50.
Yeah.
That was.
But I had to pay like 18 in taxes, so yeah. It went away quick.
Yeah, but still, all right, so you netted 32. That's still crazy. That's a good point.
Are they going to tax you right at the window when you collect your winnings?
I have no idea.
It's better that they do.
If it's over 10, right?
It's better that they do, because then you know it's going to be done with it.
That's true.
Yeah, I would much rather do that, because otherwise Cakes, you just won't report it, and then you're going to be in trouble.
Cakes would be so shady.
What are you talking? Why are the guns being traded on me?
He'd ask to get paid in chips.
Hello, I'm not the one making a five-figure score today.
Right.
It's Brett.
Right. God, I it's so awesome, dude. Listen, if you bust out, you booked this trip for 4 or 5 days. Are you gonna play another one now? Because you're free rolling now.
I wanted. Jenny gave me the okay to play. There's a six handed event tomorrow, but it's a $5,000 buy in. I don't think that's gonna be wild.
Six handed is gonna be wild.
Okay, you might not, but if you cash like top five, you're gonna be in that field.
Oh, I don't know. Dude, it's so hard to play 12 hours a day.
Right.
It's literally...
What are you doing? Yeah, are you just crushing Red Bulls?
Coffee, Red Bull, but then I have to pee all the time, and I'm like never at my seat.
You're not drinking while you're playing, are you?
No, I'm not.
How many hour
energy.
Before it gets so
I've actually been pummeling 5 hours.
Don't get crazy.
Don't overdo it.
What percentage of players are actually boozing? Are people, keeping it together?
Zero.
Really?
Zero.
Everybody's serious.
Yeah. Wow.
I mean, this is so hardcore.
The money's getting too big now for people to just be cracking Bud Lights and pouring them in their face.
I mean, you've seen Scotty Wynn drinking before.
Yeah, but that guy, how many rates does he have?
He was the only one in the field drinking.
Right.
He was. He was it.
Exactly.
If Brett wins, he can book Rihanna for doggy jams.
Right.
And then someone busted Scotty with, a terrible hand, and he got all bitter and was grilling him.
Right. Right.
So it's been a cool experience. It's been awesome. Dude, you guys have to come play, we got to take a trip next year.
I know.
We'll these do tournaments it. Are made for you and Cakes.
I'm sized.
I know. If you play snug is good.
Oh, snug, I'm there.
I'm good.
All right, Brett, best of luck. Thanks for calling.
All right, keep
us,
me updated, brother.
All right, guys.
Pass the sugar, Brett. Pass the sugar.
All right, that's
By the way, if people want to follow along, they can follow along on our Twitters, or you can go to WSOP.com, and Brett is playing in event number 54.
How cool is that?
It's great.
That is so cool.
If he double or triples up, he's going to have a six-figure payday.
Ooh.
I mean,
silly.
Top five makes $118,000.
And just think, you were sized that you won $6 off yesterday from the bet book.
Of course.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We got a tweet here from one of our listeners who says he's heading to the Quicken Loans. And he says, when Tiger rips a drive, should he yell, oh yeah, or Valdez?
Oh, definitely Valdez. You have to yell Valdez.
I hate to encourage it because I do hate that behavior. But if you're gonna do a Junkies related, it's got to be a Valdez. Oh,
or something with Drab, because he's very slighted by someone yelling Valdez. Because remember, he's
Are
the
you
one
trying to be magnanimous here.
Well, I'm just trying to share the wealth.
Yeah.
No, because I always maintained that guy wasn't shouting Valdez.
Can you play it again? There's a 100% chance he was. It was in D.C., wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So is that Congo?
What do you think he's shouting?
I don't know what he's shouting. Why would a P1 who would go out and shout Valdez at an event never claim his fame?
It's just a hit and run.
I don't know.
Nah,
guy was just drinking.
25 short of front edge. That was some tee shot. Yep. Tiger going with the iron. Just a little smooth 3-iron here yesterday.
I mean,
it's clear as day.
No, there's no E's on the end.
Perfectly timed.
No Z on the end.
There is no Z on the end.
There's no Z on the end. Listen again.
Do it again.
Valdez.
Did you do it slow? Did we ever go through it in slow?
Yeah, we need to break the
set. Yeah, Tiger going with the iron. Just a little smooth 3-iron here yesterday.
Valdez! I think he's doing it.
Again.
By the way, is there any way that... There's no way that AWOD knows what the Zapruder film reference is.
No.
Does he? It's impossible to know that.
Look at that confused
look
on his face.
There's no way he knows that reference.
Now, it has to do with film, so maybe he will.
I don't think he knows it.
I'm thinking it's like a prison break-in or something.
Yeah. Prison break-in?
Yeah, break-in.
Because people love breaking into prison.
So hold on. So you've never heard of the Zapruder film?
I have. I have no clue what it references.
Okay.
Zapruder is obviously the name of somebody, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Have you ever... do you know any presidents who were assassinated?
Yeah.
Can you name them?
Name a couple.
Abraham Lincoln.
Right.
I mean, if I didn't get that, come on.
Yeah.
JFK.
Right.
Ooh, was there... there's another one? Not Taft?
No, 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 don't worry about that.
Let's focus on JFK.
Now go back to the Zapruder film.
What do you think the Zapruder
film... oh, the Zapruder film is the belief that there were two shooters, right?
That's not the belief.
It's the whole conspiracy theory.
No, no.
It's the actual Zapruder film.
I believe the guy's name was... his name George Zapruder?
Don't
it was
know.
Just a guy who had a little handheld little camera, and he's the one that has like the grainy video of him being shot. That everyone
back into the left.
Back into the left and everything.
Abraham,
thanks for being on, George.
Yeah, somehow he didn't run out of battery for his film. No, I will say AWOD did a very good job at the Purple Heart Open this year.
Right.
Apparently, AWOD was about to get lucky last night. Do you want to fill us in or fill the audience in on what happened last night?
Where'd you go? So, last night was a Wednesday night.
You
go out on a Wednesday night?
I play in a Wednesday night kickball league. It's on the...
such a millennial thing to do.
It's on the Washington, the mall.
Right.
The grassy.
The Washington, the mall.
I forget. The Pentagon Mall? It's
the Pentagon Mall?
No. It's...
Pentagon City?
The Washington Monument.
You went to the mall?
Mall.
It's the mall.
It's the capital.
It's the mall. It's not
I still don't understand why it's called
Chuck
the mall.
Cheese? Wait, where'd you go?
It's not called the Capitol Mall. It's not called the Pentagon City Mall.
Right.
It's just the mall.
It's... I don't understand why it's a mall. It should be a grassy land.
It's the mall.
Okay. It's just what
that's
they call it.
That's all you need to
His
know.
His dad is a tour guide in D.C.
Yeah. I know.
He's just an idiot.
My dad's told me 100 times about it. But
yeah.
So I go to the kickball league there, and the D.C. phrase, the best kickball league, because it's nothing but girls and, like, bros.
I have to say, it's a good move for a young, single guy, like a loser. It's a good move. Yeah.
So,
and it's not really like a sport.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
So
he can be unathletic and
casual.
Right.
I show my athletic skills out there because I play left field.
Right.
And so
left field. Does the ball ever get to left field?
Left out.
But go ahead.
So, you know, we're drinking, having a good time, and I'm meeting. It's the first.
So hold on. Do they allow like open container drinking at these
things on the mall? They have a policy where they look the other way.
That's what it is. That's kind of what Chief Neeson said. So what do people do?
They drink out of solo cups.
They drink out of solo cups.
That's exactly what I said yesterday.
Yeah.
Because I'm smart.
Yeah. So this was the first game of the new season, so I was meeting new people. And new girls on the team. And then afterwards, everyone goes to this one bar.
What's the spot?
It's called Hamilton's.
All right.
And you go upstairs, and it's a flip cup tournament. So you like...
is it Hamilton's or is it the Hamilton?
No, it's not that the silly place.
Right, okay.
It's a different
I got
Hamilton.
Confused on the way.
Yeah, I'm sure you did.
So we go upstairs, and you actually play flip cup against the team that you basically just played in kickball. So it's like you kind of can get revenge on in drinking games. And so...
Everybody's about your age, too,
everyone's about my age. It's a party.
But way more successful.
Right. We're meeting people. We're talking. I'm flirting. And I meet this girl. And you know,
what does she look like?
She was very cute.
Right.
Do you have pics?
No, she's thick.
She doesn't exist.
With a cute face.
She's probably not on social media again.
Right. I didn't ask for her social media
account. Give us a celebrity comp. Who you think she might look like, if you can pull that.
Who's the big girl from Pitch Perfect?
No.
Rebel Wilson.
She was more of a thick Megan Fox.
A thick Megan Fox?
Yeah, oh, my God. Sure.
What is that? What's a thick Megan Fox?
Well,
like
Megan
she was
Fox
brunette.
Is a
like
10.
How thick?
No, like the right thick.
Was she like, I don't know. I'm trying to think here. Was she...
she was a solid 7.
I prayed for you.
Was for
she,
sure.
Now, was she thick or was she BBW?
No.
Big difference.
No. They call it felt. That's what she was. She was thick in all the right places.
All right, whatever. So what happened?
So basically everyone's at the bar drinking, and at 9:30 I'm like, you know, I got to go home. And she says, I want you to stay and have another drink with me. So that's when I'm thinking, all right, it's on. And so I stay there for another hour. We're drinking, playing flip cup. And the whole team decides to go back to this one guy's house in Arlington. And she lives in D.C., but yet I convinced her to get in the Uber with us. And I was like, yeah, you know, I'll get you an Uber back later.
So you're now going to somebody else's house.
Yeah, so now we all pile in this Uber. We go back to our friend's house. We open up a glass of wine. It's like 11 o'clock.
So how many people
open up a glass of wine?
I mean, open up a bottle. There's six of us. Yeah. All right. And there's like two girls. One of them's dating the guy that lives there.
The other girls, are they thick too? Or
no.
They're silly.
No, I mean, my girl was silly. All right.
Is yours a thick looking Megan Fox or like a thin Brendan Sheriff?
No. Thick Megan Fox.
Really? Okay. All right. I'm just asking.
So
go ahead.
That's when I'm really like starting to flirt with her because I got my alone time with her. We're talking. Everyone's playing video games, and I'm just kind of like trying to convince her to come back to my house, right? Because I live just a few blocks away.
Can I just interject for a second?
Yeah.
We are married guys, and I get it. He's younger. He's in his 20s.
Yeah.
Doesn't that lifestyle sound miserable?
Sounds horrible.
I think it's silly because you're meeting a new girl every night.
We did that in our early 20s.
Yeah.
So, all right.
He's at a rando's house. They're playing video games.
Where's everybody playing Fortnite?
And it's
Fortnite?
11 o'clock.
And it's 11 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
Yep. And so she's kind of giving signals that she wants to get out of the situation. And so I'm like,
how is she giving a signal?
She's just saying, I got to go home soon. I mean, I got to leave soon.
Yeah, I got to go home.
Right.
Right.
But so I convinced her.
And Adam sees that as, she wants to go back to my house.
Right.
And
let's get away from you.
Quit imprisoning me.
Right. Sounds like real peach.
Right. I'm like, well, why don't you walk with me back to my house? It's only a few blocks away. And so she agrees. And while we're walking back, I mean, we're flirting, holding hands. I gave her a kiss. It was locked up in the bag. And it's like a 6 or 7 block walk. She started complaining that it was walked too far, but then finally got to my
didn't
apartment
complex.
Didn't you
earlier say you were going to get an Uber and then you cheapskated your way out with a walk?
Yeah, I thought the walk was kind of romantic.
Right, all right.
Apparently she did.
I just wanted alone time with her so
I could
close.
Were you hammered?
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
Was she?
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And, I mean, I'm thinking this is couldn't be easier. She's actually one of the best looking girls I've kissed in like 2 months. Or right. 2 years.
Right.
And so I finally get her back to my apartment complex, and we go through the front door, and I think, all right, I got to make a move as soon as we get in my house. She walks in the door, and the first thing she says is, oh, my God, I was going to bang you, but your apartment is too dirty. And then she continues to Joan on me and says, seriously, you have sex with girls here in this place?
Oh,
when was the last time?
Oh, my
and
God.
So I'm telling her.
So you blew your opportunity because you have stuff strewn
so
all over the apartment.
She's, now she's brought up the sex topic, though.
Yeah.
I would think you would still would have an opportunity because now she's brought that topic up. Now you could swoop in with some sort of line.
Do you have her number?
Yeah.
You need to do is clean your house.
No, I start
really good
cleaning immediately.
And send her a text.
Well, hold on. As she's saying that, how are you trying to recover?
I mean, I was just getting joned on for 10 minutes straight.
Right.
About how she kept saying that you have a really nice bachelor pad if it didn't look like a rat's nest. And
right.
Like, she's like, you really expected me to get it in with you? Like, come on.
And have with you guys this place ever looking vacuumed? This, how many guys live there?
Three guys.
Have you
guys? Yeah, we vacuumed. Here was the issue is that we pre-gamed at my house, so there was like 15 beer cans and McDonald's on the coffee table.
Sexy.
She did not get sized for that at all.
Right.
And in your room, I'm
well,
guessing.
What about in your room?
Your room's a pig size.
She didn't even make it to my room.
She didn't make it
there's
to
probably
room.
Clothes all over the floor.
Right.
There's, there's a closed corner.
I've said this many
everyone
times.
Has that.
The tell on AWOD is that if you ever look at his car, the bumper stickers are crooked. First of all, his bumper stickers. He has a dangling license plate.
You only have like one bolt holding the license.
I only have one bolt, but that's a tight bolt.
After all this time, yes. It's been dangling for like a year.
Right.
Yeah.
And then if you actually
get like a ticket for that, for not having it like properly affixed?
No, I've talked to the police about it.
You have?
Yeah.
You've talked to the police?
Because that one time I ran out of gas outside the Pentagon and then cops came.
Yeah.
And then they were like, no way, you're AWOD from the junkies. This is such an AWOD thing to run out of gas in the highway.
That happened to you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Arlington police.
You talk to the police about it as a lie.
Oh, my God.
And the other thing is, I would guess. So if you get beyond the bumper stickers and the license plate, when you actually look inside the car, my guess is if you open the passenger side, something's falling out.
Oh, yeah.
So
like McDonald's wrappers are falling out, right? You're like,
you know what
that.
I mean? Like,
is that I bet you. Is that how your dad's car is?
No. My dad's actually the opposite of me.
What does Maury's car look like?
First my of all, dad's car is silly.
What is
my mom's
pushing?
The sloppy.
What does Maury drive?
He drives a Volkswagen, little silly Jetta.
Okay. All right, that's fine. That's fine. That's fine.
And I get it.
Does he keep it nice and clean, or does he keep it like you?
He keeps it very clean. Hey, look, I'm telling you, my mom is the gene that gave me the slob.
I get it. You're 25 or 26, and you live on your own, and it doesn't matter. But to me, it is a tell in life. Do you make your bed?
No.
No.
I'm not going to kill you for that.
Do I make my bed?
I'm not going to kill you
serious?
For that. I never made my bed when I was your age.
He probably doesn't even know how to make a bed.
No, I do know how to fold the corners and tuck it in.
No, you don't have to be perfect, but at least put the bedspread up.
I'm going to say it's standard for guys his age not to make their beds. JP, you're an outlier.
I'm going to guess the last time you washed your sheets was never.
That's a great
guess.
No,
I washed
when's
my
the last
sheets,
time you washed them?
Like 4 weeks ago after I brought home the pig.
All right.
I watched them.
How was this one compared to the pig?
I mean, this girl was so attractive.
When you
prefaced
it right from the beginning, you just put it right out there. She was thick.
Yeah,
that makes me think.
No. Good thick, like athletic body thick. I mean, she was wearing yoga pants and
right?
was thick in the back.
Right.
So I was butt size for her.
Right. How was her face?
Cute.
Attractive.
Yeah.
He said
yeah.
Megan Fox.
Yeah, that was a stretch, but she's very cute.
Yeah.
So is she like brunette?
Yeah.
So that's the Megan Fox part.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. The brown hair.
But look,
it's a shocker he doesn't have pictures.
Yeah.
I got her number. She went home upset because she definitely was in the mood until she saw my apartment.
Have her text you a picture if you have her number.
Nest.
Have her text her.
Text? Have her text you a picture of her.
Or tell her you want to hit her up on social media.
I can do that. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's hurting, Cakes. You don't ask for. Send me a selfie. Like, what?
I don't know. Some sort of photographic evidence that this person exists.
Yeah, just whatever it is, whatever you
I'll
guys do.
I'll see her
do.
Next Wednesday at kickball.
Is that what you're going to do?
Yeah.
Why don't you didn't text her last night and say sorry?
No.
I promise I'll have the place clean next time.
I think the move is you clean it up and take a picture and say, check out my place.
I think that's a good move, JP. I'm going to clean the place.
Clean.
I was so embarrassed.
I hope you strike out
she's gonna
at kickball
say,
next week.
She'll say, who is this? Right. Because she was so drunk, she didn't remember where
right.
she was.
There's going to be no follow-up, right? Yeah. That was her one chance.
Yeah.
And it's over.
She was going to make a bad decision.
Yep.
Now she's wise now.
Yeah, now she's sobered up. And she's
I know, because the whole walk home she was doing, you know I have to leave eventually.
What does she do for a living?
He never finds out.
I don't really figure out that until like the second date kind of thing.
Which usually doesn't happen.
Yeah.
Do you ask any questions about them to show like feigned interest?
Ask,
I know you don't care, but
I ask where they go to college. She went to Tennessee.
She went to Tennessee.
Ah, she loves Rocky Top.
Rocky Top.
She gets butt size.
Just to rewind, how did you do in kickball?
Her and Dan Helly.
I know a lot of thick girls that went to Tennessee.
How did you do in kickball? We once had a very heated incident between EB and Brett, who was on the show earlier, because EB whiffed in kickball. Did that happen to you?
No, our team won 10-4.
I didn't ask the team,
but I was 0-2. I kicked it two pop-ups to center field.
You sound like Bryce. Yeah.
I got a hold of one of them, but
A-Wad Harper over there.
All right.
Who says pop up to center field?
We'll follow up with this, see if anything happens. It's on Wednesday nights now. This is the new thing.
But tonight's
Don Tito
night. Do you know anybody else
night.
On the team?
Yeah, most of the guys went to JMU.
Okay.
Some work at Booz Allen.
Right. They all have like real lives going on.
Well, JMU.
On.
Yeah, I mean, they're all paying for the league. They let me play for free.
They do.
It's I was the ultimate hook job.
Right. They
How did
they
you meet
pity
them?
On you?
Are these guys you live with?
They live with my college roommate.
Got you.
So mutual friends. And they said, A-Wad, we need you on the team so you don't have to pay. We need your foot.
Yeah, sure, they need your foot. Your pop-up foot.
I will say, surprisingly, I will give him a little props. Back when I used to play soccer occasionally with some of the radio guys, including Drab, A-Wad was surprisingly skilled. Now, he was not in shape.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm slow, but I'm deceptively quick.
I don't know about
that. I don't even think that's
true. I get
true.
From point A to B real quick, but A, B, and C, it's going to take me too long.
Yeah, and then he's going to take a 10-minute
break. In other
words,
you're out of shape.
In other words, he can trap the ball, and he can have like one dribble, and then somebody's going to take it.
Right, right. And in basketball, I can do my quick one step, and then I have to pull up, or they're going to catch up.
And then you puke off to the side.
Right. All right, well, just keep us updated.
Okay.
All right. But so
and I'll
far,
clean my room.
I think on this show, you're 0 for 600. But, you know, keep us updated.
I think I'm like 4 for 600.
But is it really his fault, though? Because if he's in a common area with two other roommates, You know, the other roommates could be making the place dirty, too.
Well, yeah, but you know, it's always a mess.
He left the place.
It wasn't immaculate and then just some McDonald's and leftover Solo cups.
Yeah,
that was a dump.
Yeah.
She walked in there, and believe me, I lived in a dump for five. I know a dump. I lived in the worst dump.
It's not like it was sparkling clean, and there was one little spot where there are 15 beer cans.
No, she saw the couch McDonald's and was wrappers. Like, that's the nubbiest couch I've ever seen. She saw the carpet and was like, ugh, what's all that stuff?
Yeah.
It was beyond the
McDonald's.
I mean,
I get it, but like, you know, I lived in a house where there was mold on the walls. There was mold in the bath. There was mold everywhere. We had a million roaches in the kitchen. I know what a dump is. That's what you live in.
I took a picture of my living room so you guys could see. Why she was so disgusted.
The squalor that you live in. Let me see this.
Ship it, Drabby.
Why don't you post that on her Facebook page?
Oh, please no.
Yes. On the Mattress Warehouse Hotline, Barry Svrluga, Washington Post sports columnist. Check out his latest column that was posted yesterday for Tiger Woods' event in D.C. This is it, and that's a shame. Good morning, Barry. How are you?
Great, guys. Hope you're doing well.
Yeah, we are. Thanks, man. You know, it is kind of sad. I'm feeling kind of melancholy this week because, you know, I've grown up in this area basically my entire life. And I have memories of my dad taking me out to Congressional of the old Kemper Open. I was 15 years old. He'd sit by a tree and I'd walk around and follow Greg Norman or John Daly or Ben Crenshaw or whatever. And then, you know, we've had kind of a rich tradition of golf here. Every maybe 10 years or so, we have a major. You know, it's pretty special. And then to think that this could be it with such little fanfare with a tournament that's now, you know, Tiger's hosting this event, Barry, and it's him, Ricky Fowler, and nobody else. Man, we're really going out with a whimper here.
That's exactly the word I was just going to use. I mean, and I think it feels that way, not only cast against everything that you said about growing up here and, you know, bringing your kids and wandering around and learning a bit about the players and what it takes to compete on the PGA Tour and the shots they hit and all that kind of stuff. But you cast it against where we were 11 years ago when Tiger and his foundation essentially saved PGA Tour golf in the district or in Washington. And not only that, like made it feel like, holy cow, we're going to have, a tentpole event on the PGA Tour because, you know, Jack Nicklaus always had the Memorial in Columbus and Arnold Palmer always had the tournament at Bay Hill in Orlando. And they were going to sit in rocking chairs and tell stories and get old and welcome, you know, a new generation of players to their tournament that felt special because of them. That's what you figured it would be like with Tiger here. There was no reason to doubt that. And then early on, you got really good winners. Anthony Kim, who was an up-and-coming star, and then Tiger beat him the next year, and Justin Rose has won this event. It felt like a big deal, and to see it kind of going out and with more of a fizzle is surprising when you think about what it looked like it would become.
It's weird because, you know, normally if Tiger had an event and he asked you to play in the event, you know, Rory would come, Justin Rose would come. So either he's completely lost his power amongst these guys, which I don't believe can possibly be true, or Tiger knows the writing's on the wall and he just saved it and didn't even bother to ask because the field should be stronger with Tiger
headlining
it.
But also they value the calendar more than Tiger because the calendar puts it right before the British.
I get it, but Tiger could still lean on Justin Thomas or Jordan. I mean, these guys have all been here before. I'm not sure about Justin, but Jordan certainly has. Rory has. Justin Rose. Why did no one else answer the call or did Tiger not call?
So Tiger's in an odd spot there, and the answer is he doesn't call because he knows how important his schedule is to him and constructing it to meet his needs and all of that. So he is extremely reluctant to lean on players to play here. And I get that, but I think if you care about your tournament and you see the fields that you're getting, maybe you don't lean on a Justin Rose who's approaching 40 and has a family and plays some of his golf in Europe and you know, I get that. But couldn't you lean on a Patrick Reed or somebody who's a little younger and maybe owes a little bit more to you, or would look up to you in a different way. You're not a peer, you're more the next generation. I think he could have done that. But also, you know, it's impossible to overstate, that this event was doomed by not being able to get out of this date. And I think if Tiger had not had his personal issues back in 2009 and therefore lost some, not only his luster, but his power, to be honest, I think Tiger and his foundation would have been able to push the tour to say, hey, this date does not work for us. And we both know that you want a Tiger Woods hosted event and you want it to be one of the major events on the tour. Let's figure out how we get out of that date. I think that would have been a huge change for how players viewed the event and what the field ended up being.
But I also have to believe if he was leaning on players, which you say he's not, they might come back with the retort, well, you haven't played in half of them.
Well, that was because of injury almost every time.
That's the only reason. He missed it because of injury, and then last year because he was going through whatever he was going through in terms of managing his pain medications.
Right.
So was that a factor in, you know, whether this tournament had buzz in a given year? Of course it was, because it's a binary thing. If Tiger plays, there's some buzz. If he doesn't, there's less. I mean, that's a very easy equation. But it's not like he was like, I don't feel like playing in my own event. He would have played every year had he been healthy.
Right.
Barry, one of the nuggets you have in your column was from 2012 when the derecho ripped through the area and damaged the golf course, and the third round had to be played without a gallery. Our resident golf expert, Matt Valdez, I remember, went out to the event, and he's following Tiger Woods. And he came back in and told us you could basically hear a pin drop out on the course. Just one of the kind of the quirky things about the history of this event.
You might have that feeling today.
You might
when you go out there.
It's possible.
That was such a weird day, and you know, so many trees were down at Congressional, and they decided, well, we can play the event safely, but we can't have, you know, 30,000 people roaming around here. I remember on the sixth hole, Tiger chipped in for eagle, I believe. And it was the normal thing where, like, you know, those roars that he gets are very distinct. And, you know, there were a handful of media and some volunteers and maybe 40 people greenside. And that was it. There was no roar. It still counted as an eagle. But just a weird day. Kind of a little... A thing you might get nostalgic about as we get to the close of this film.
Now, all that being said, Tiger is here to play some golf, and I've been my entire life a huge Tiger fan, Tiger supporter. Even with all the trials and tribulations, the guy on the golf course is just unbelievable, and I've been blown away at what he's been able to do so far this year. He's only missed two cuts. He missed at the Open. I didn't think he was going to do well there. It's just too rigorous of a test at this point in the comeback. So far, Barry, he's had weeks where he's putted great. He's had weeks where he's really hit the irons great. He's had weeks even where he's hit the driver well. He just hasn't put it all together. Could this be the week with the weaker field, maybe, where that could factor in? I'm not sure that the field will affect whether or not he could put those three together, but maybe this would be a great week to do it.
Well, I'd say two things on that. One, his putting, he admits his last four tournaments has not been good, and that's been a kind of a line of demarcation. He putted pretty well the two times he contended,
right,
in Tampa and then in Orlando. So if he gets that, he's maybe switching putters. He was messing around with three different putters on the putting green yesterday. We're not sure what he's going to put in the bag. But I would say the other thing that would be super important for him and is always a question is how does he hit the driver? Because at this course, and this place is no joke, man. I don't like playing it because it's so hard. And then with the spring that we've had and then even some wet weather this week, the rough at
TPC
Potomac is just so thick.
Yeah.
So if he sprays the, it's not U.S. Open rough, like, you know, maybe at Oaklawn, but it's not that far short of it. So if he sprays driver, it's going to be penal. And that's true of the entire field. Somebody's going to have to drive it straight to win this this tournament. Keep in mind, when it was played here last year, Kyle Stanley won it, and he won it with a score of 7-under over 4 rounds. That, for a regular PGA Tour stop, is a remarkably high score. So it's going to, you know, it's not going to be a 19-under birdie fest. It's definitely a tough test, and he's going to have to drive it straight.
Right.
That's Barry Zwerluga from the Washington Post. Thanks for joining us on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Barry. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. Talk to you soon.
Yep. All right.
Cake, CB, and JP, just a three-man show this week as Fish is on vacation. But joining us right now on the Mattress Warehouse Hotlines, our pal Mike Rizzo, President of Baseball Operations, GM of the Washington Nationals. As we go in the clubhouse with Mike Rizzo, presented by Burke and Herbert Bank, unexpectedly different. Mike, let's start with Jason Wirth and what he meant to the Nationals. You've had some great comments about Jason Wirth over the years. He ends up retiring yesterday, makes that decision to retire.
Yeah, good morning, guys.
Hello, Mike.
Yeah, it was, hello. At, you know, Jason's near and dear to my heart and a lot of the hearts of the Nationals people. And, you know, he was a guy that had a lot of options when he became a free agent, chose to play with the Nationals, you know, a team that at the time was building and struggling for the last couple of years, had lost 100 games just a few years prior, and you know, had opportunities to go to places like Boston and other you know, major league giants, and chose to be part of the solution in Washington D.C. He brought a lot of ideas and you know, his winning ways. He's a World Series champion, and a guy really taught us how to you know, how to handle our growing pains and how to be a championship caliber organization. You know, in a lot of different areas. You know, his play on the field was, you know, can be debated and analyzed, you know, through the numbers and that type of thing. I thought he was instrumental to the franchise's long term viability and becoming a championship organization that it is today. And through many, many ways, brought his ideas and perspective on how to win to the Nationals. So we'll I'll remember him for that, and his personality and the way he you know, he was revered and respected by his teammates is something that will always stick out to me.
Now, Mike, a lot of things that you talk about are the things that you can't measure, and so much of your job is measured and the analytics and the measurables. I'm kind of dovetailing this to comments made by FP Santangelo, who of course calls your games. And FP said something to the effect that the team needs to play with the emotion that they showed at the end of the last game when there was the flare up with Romo and the benches clearing. How do you see emotion playing into the way the team plays?
You know, I think the team plays with a lot of emotion. It's they've been energized. They've hustled. They've played very, very hard. Worked very, very hard. You know, the only way I can answer that is, you know, to the naked eye and to the fans' perspective in the broadcast booth, in the GM box, and in the stands is, you know, when you're getting two or three hits a game, it's hard to look like you're playing very, very hard and that you have emotion. But if you're to zero in that dugout and, you know, when, you know, the comeback that we had against the Phillies and you know, the 1-0 loss that we had when Max pitched the other day, you look at that dugout. There's not a player in the dugout that's sitting. That's not on the top stair of the dugout and engaged in the game. It's just when you're not scoring runs, it looks like you're not playing hard, and it looks like you're not into it, just because there's no traffic on the bases and you know it's pitchers dominating. So I think as often happens when you start swinging the bat and scoring runs, it almost automatically looks like your energy level is going up because you're doing things on the bases in front of the fans that they like to see. So I've given Davey Martinez a lot of credit for how he's handled this month of June, and as we haven't played as well as we are accustomed to playing, They have worked extremely hard pre-games, and we're really looking forward to this series against Philly, because I think it's an important series, and I think it's something that that we, you know, they're as important as they get at the end of June. So I think it's something that we're going to swing the bats, we're going to score some runs, and we're going to show you know, the energy that you know, people perceive that's not there right now.
Mike, I think baseball players hold grudges with the best of them. I mean, the Romo dust-up, that dated back to early June, I guess, in an 11-2 win for the Nats over Tampa, where Taylor stole a base in that game. And the game is still in the sixth inning. I mean, look, you have a 9-run lead, but the game isn't over. If you want to steal a base to try to add more runs, I don't have a problem with it. Clearly, Romo did. It's just one of those things where a grudge is held, and the guy just couldn't hold back at the end of the game in Tampa, and we saw it, you know, kind of reach ahead there and reach the boil.
Yeah, they, I mean, that's, you know, players being players, man. They, I always say they police themselves, and it's been going on for a long time. I was much more concerned with, you know, the three hits that we got, that rather than Sergio Romo, you know, starting a dust up and then running to the back of the pack.
Right. What, you know, it's hard, because when you're struggling, everyone wants to say, well, what can we do? What can we do? But as you know better than any of us, that, I mean, I was telling the boys, you look at the lineup, where would you make a change? I mean, you know, I mean, maybe obviously you'd like to have your starting catcher back there, but for the most part, you'd like to have Murph playing second every day and that sort of thing. But for the most part, this lineup, you just have to have faith in it, and they're going to go through some doldrums. It's a long season. Like, this is the optimistic take I'm trying to have here, Mike, that this just, you wouldn't make any tweaks. You just got to ride these guys out.
Well, these guys got to play better, play up to their standards, and that's the key. And I have all the confidence in the world that they will. You know, we've said it before, and we said it before, and I'll say it again. You know, you've got Daniel Murphy going through spring training. You know, in the end of June, you've got Adam Eaton, you know, trying to get his sea legs underneath him and going through a spring training. You got Matt Wieters down. You got Ryan Zimmerman down. You got Matt Adams down. Those are big offensive cogs that you don't have, or that aren't playing up to their potential yet. So, you know, we're just trying to survive until we get a little rhythm in the lineup, and until we get some synergy in the lineup, until we get you know guys like Eaton and Murphy to get enough at bats for them to perform, and you get Wieters and Adams and Zimmerman back. I think the offense will look much, much different. And you know, right now we're grinding out wins. We're beating teams in unconventional ways. You know, some days it's the bullpen that comes through. Some days it's the starting pitching that comes through. And sometimes we scored a lot of runs to make our jobs a little bit easier. So that's you know, kind of the way we're looking at it right now. We've had a rough June, to say the least, so far. And you know, we're 3.5 games going out of first, going into this series with the Phillies. We feel really good about where we're at the end of this thing. I've been through this thing a long time, and you know, you don't make a whole lot of knee jerk reactions at the end of June. You assess your team, you know, going into the trade deadline, and figure out what your needs are, and try to fulfill them. As of right now, you know, our needs are to get healthy and get our lineup intact for the first time all season, which you know, we haven't had a semblance of the lineup that we envisioned going into spring training yet this season. So we're looking forward to that day. And until that day comes, you know, young guys have to grind through and win games for us. There's, you know, as we said, as we talked about it after that Tampa loss, you know, a couple of days ago, was, you know, we can, you know, it's, nobody wants to hear that we're trying hard, we're playing hard, we're this. It's win, it's perform. Right. And this is a performance league, and not a try hard league. So we got to you know, score more runs than the opposition any way, shape, or form that you can, and win baseball games.
Joined by Mike Rizzo, president of baseball operations and GM of the Washington Nationals. And one of the ways that you generate runs is you be aggressive on the base paths. We've had callers talk about this. We've talked about this. This season, there have been a lot of base running blunders. I believe you lead the National League, or maybe the Major Leagues, into running into outs. What's going on? What do you make of this?
Too many mistakes on the bases. You know, we've got two good base runners to make any mistakes that we have. We also lead the league in stolen bases and runs created on the bases too. So, you know, it's a double edged sword. But we got to play better baseball. You know, on the base paths. You know, in the defensively on the base paths, our bullpen, our starting rotation, our GM's got to be better. We got to play better. That's all. It's like I said. It's time to start. You know, really focusing in, playing the game the right way, and not beating ourselves. You know, giving the opposition 27 outs and giving ourselves an opportunity for 27 outs and not two or three outs on the bases and hollow at bats and that type of thing. We've got to grind these things out and play better baseball, until we get our full team back. And once we do that, then I think that our talent level is good enough that we should be playing meaningful games at the end of the season.
Bryce admitted he's never been through anything like this before, and we've all been focusing on him. But I think maybe we're starting to see some signs, right, that he's breaking out here a little bit. Still only has one bomb in the month, but I think the last four or five games we're starting to see he's hitting the ball the other way a little bit, taking some walks again, that sort of thing. Are you seeing the same thing?
Yeah, I've seen it. I've been watching it for the last couple of weeks. I think that, you know, he's staying in the strike zone more often, and I think that's a key to him. And I think another key to him is the pitches in the strike zone that he's putting good swings on it. And like I've said before, Bryce is a healthy Bryce is going to get his numbers, and I feel confident that he's got his best days this season are ahead of him, and I think that bodes well for our offense in general.
Mike, it's time for the Burke and Herbert Bank fan question of the week. We saw Michael Franco of the Phillies slip on a wet first base bag last weekend at Nats Park. Similar to Bryce Harper's incident from last season, which cost him 6 weeks of his season, does Major League Baseball need to address the issue of a potential redesign of the bag at first base? That's from Maury in D.C.
Of course we do. I lobbied for it after Eaton and Harper and now Franco and Acuna with the Braves. You've seen it countless times. I think it's an easy fix. I just don't understand what we're waiting for. It's what we try and do with at Nats Park is when it's a rainy or a misty day, we change that base every half inning. That's kind of the way we've tried to attack it. I've mentioned this to MLB and at the time when we had a couple of those injuries, and I haven't gotten a satisfactory explanation yet, and I'm waiting for that, and I just don't understand what we're waiting for.
Holograms.
It can't be that difficult.
The hologram. I mean, it's 2018, Mike.
They got to be able to feel something, but yeah, it's got to be something where they're not slipping and sliding all over the place. It's ridiculous.
It's just, you know, to me, with all the intelligence up in the commissioner's office and in Major League Baseball, I just don't understand why we can't come up with a composite base that does not slip, and it can't be that difficult.
Right. All right, Mike, it's always a pleasure to have you on. It sucks that, you know, we're not winning with the consistency that we all expect, but it's got to turn. The damn team is too good.
Well, the expectancy of winning day in day out is a good thing. We haven't had that long enough there, and we're going to continue. So don't jump ship. Stay with us, fellas, because we got a long season ahead. We're going to win a lot of games, and it's going to be fun at the end.
Yep. All right. Thank you, Mike. Appreciate it as always, buddy.
Talk to you next week.
Thanks, guys.
All right.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.